every four Pakistani lives with diabetes, which is type 2 mainly.
This is the BBC World Service, the world's radio station.
Welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. I'm Rebecca Kesby. A massive search and rescue operation is underway in Texas to try to find more than 20 children still missing after flash floods destroyed the campsite they were sleeping in.
Most of the camps are gone. Like, hunt's gone.
We're just trying to keep doing what we can to find our missing.
We'll look at allegations that recent DOGE cuts to the National Weather Service hindered accurate forecasting.
They're still doing a really good job of the core function of that agency. What we found is that as you lose people, some of the functions around that begin to fray.
Plus the latest on the Gaza ceasefire talks and celebrations as the Dalai Lama turns 90. But who will be his successor? It's coming up after the latest world news.
This is Danielle Yawovietska with the BBC News. Hello. Hospital officials in Gaza say more than 30 Palestinians have been killed in overnight Israeli airstrikes across the territory. The strikes come as Israel and Hamas are due to begin indirect talks in Qatar on a potential ceasefire and hostage release deal. Our correspondent in Jerusalem, Ione Wells, says that the US President Donald Trump has been pushing for a ceasefire ahead of his meeting with Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Washington on Monday.
Donald Trump wants to see progress, and I think the fact that both sides have agreed to enter into negotiations through mediators is something which Donald Trump can talk about on Monday as progress. Whether or not it leads to substantial progress, though, is a question we still don't really know the answer to, because it seems like these sticking points are still existing, particularly this one about Hamas wanting a guarantee that the war will end, which seems to be a message to Donald Trump ahead of his meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, that if the US gives such a guarantee, then Hamas would be prepared potentially to agree to this ceasefire.
Reports from Iran say two members of the country's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps were killed on Sunday while trying to defuse explosives in the west of the country. The incident happened in Horamabad, an area targeted by Israeli strikes last month. Iranian reports, quoting a Revolutionary Guard statement, say the explosives were remnants from those attacks. Officials in the Sudanese capital Khartoum say they've recovered and buried 3,800 bodies since Khartoum state was recaptured by the army in May. Khartoum was seized by paramilitary forces soon after the war began more than 2 years ago. There was intense fighting across the city for many months. Our Africa regional editor Will Ross reports.
The health ministry in the Sudanese capital says when the army captured the whole of Khartoum state, teams were sent out to help bury the victims of the war. It says the bodies were found on the streets, in homes, hospitals and government buildings. During months of intense fighting, much of Khartoum was destroyed by heavy shelling. Trapped civilians were unable to reach the cemeteries, and so makeshift graves were dug in residential areas. No one knows exactly how many have died in this war, but it's likely to be in the tens of thousands. And the fighting continues in several areas of the country, including Darfur.
The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, says emergency workers will be relentless in their search for everyone missing after catastrophic flash floods. At least 27 girls from a Christian summer camp are unaccounted for. More than 50 people are known to have died. Andrea Hertzler lives in Kerr County, the worst affected area.
Disaster. Disaster. It was horrible. I've been through a lot, but I haven't seen anything like that in my life. It's pretty bad. Just demolished. Yeah. The whole town's demolished.
World News from the BBC. China has added a new air route above the sensitive waterway that separates it from Taiwan. Beijing said it would ease flight congestion, but Taiwan says there'll be increased tension. China considers Taiwan part of its own territory and pressures the island to unite. China's President Xi Jinping will miss a summit of BRICS countries due to get underway shortly in Brazil for the first time since becoming his country's leader. There's been speculation about why, as our Asia-Pacific editor Mickey Bristow explains.
Beijing has blamed Mr. Xi's absence on a scheduling conflict, but that official explanation hasn't satisfied everyone. After all, Mr. Xi has consistently stressed the importance of BRICS. Some outside China suggest the no-show means Mr Xi's hold on power is weakening. That seems a stretch. The BRICS nations are a disparate group that include Russia, India and South Africa. They've struggled to find a coordinated response to President Trump's tariffs and other world events. Mr Xi might simply want to avoid being locked into positions he doesn't support.
India's Supreme Court has written to the government seeking to evict a former Chief Justice it says has refused to vacate the official residence. D.Y. Chandrachud retired 8 months ago and the two Chief Justices who followed him chose not to use the house in Delhi. But the Supreme Court wants him out because four judges in the top court don't have official accommodation. Mr. Chandrachud had requested to remain in the house because of his daughters, who he says have special needs. Pakistan's mountainous northern areas have recorded their highest ever temperature, 48.5 Celsius. Meteorologists say the figure reported in the Chilas district surpassed the previous regional record set nearly three decades ago. Officials have warned that the persistent high temperatures may accelerate snow and glacier melt. BBC News.
Hello and welcome to NewsHour, live from the BBC World Service in London. I'm Rebecca Kesby. We begin the programme in Texas, where 6 million people are still under flood watches, likely to stay in place till later this evening. Meanwhile, the search and rescue operations continue. The authorities are saying that at least 51 people are known to have died, including 15 children, but there are still people missing, including 27 children. Young girls who were on a camping trip with a Christian youth group. Over 800 people have been rescued, but the scale of the disaster and the sheer speed at which it happened is still shocking survivors. Flash floods on Friday, caused by unprecedented heavy rain, saw the Guadalupe River swell by 26 feet, that's 8 metres, in just 45 minutes. Residents of the town of Hunt near Camp Mystic, where the missing girls were swept away, have been trying to help with the search.
It's unbelievable.
It's a lot of destruction. Most of the camps are gone. Like, Hunt's gone. We're just trying to keep doing what we can to find our missing.
Just hang in there, have faith, and I hope that we find your baby.
Well, more heavy rain is forecast, we're told, in the coming days. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has signed an expanded disaster declaration to boost search efforts. And the BBC's Gary O'Donoghue is in one of the worst hit towns.
Where I am in Kerrville, we're constantly hearing helicopters overhead flying up and down using thermal imaging equipment to try and find those people who are still missing. In the camp, Camp Mystic, some of the younger children were nearer the river. Now, of course, they had older children, supervisors in the accommodation with them, and there are reports that, you know, they had to sort of smash the windows at the back of the accommodation to try and get these younger children in their pyjamas out through these windows and onto to higher ground. Now, they have been rescuing a lot of people. More than 800 people have been rescued from various places around the county. But there's still this sort of stubbornly awful number of 27 of these girls who haven't been found yet. And, of course, there are places in the town where anxious parents and family are waiting, and not just from this area. These camps attract children from all over Texas and indeed all over the country.
The BBC's Gary O'Donoghue in Kerrville in Texas. Well, one of those who survived the devastating floods is Connie Salas. She lives with her husband less than 200 metres from the Guadalupe River. Tragically, her brother Julian is one of those who perished as the waters rose. We can speak now live to Connie. Connie, welcome to the programme. We're so sorry for your loss, and I know it's not easy to speak about any of this, but do you want to take us back to the moment you realised that you were in the middle of a flood?
So we woke up about 3:34, and we heard gargling, and my husband went into the bathroom, and the flood started from the toilet flooding in. By the time he said, "Babe, it's flooding," it already hit, and it was going and it rushed both sides and we just couldn't get out. We were trapped. If we even got out that door before anything, we would have been swept away.
So I understand you sort of grappled with things that you could hang on to inside your home. How did you survive the rising water?
My husband put me on top of the bed and said, just stay there. And he was holding on to the side of it and